Great to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? This has been one of those kind of sermons, and it's really changed, and I kind of knew what the Lord wanted me to preach tonight, and studying today, and just the Lord kept opening doors to other passages, and maybe if you've ever preached or taught, you kind of know how that is, but this has been one of those days where I just couldn't wait to get here tonight and preach the message that the Lord has put on my heart. And it's just exciting. It excited me, and yet convicting at the same time. Because the Lord, as I study and as I pray in preparation to get ready for the message, the Lord's just, just hammering me on my heart also. If you would turn in your Bibles to Romans in chapter number 12, and it was great to hear. I love Pastor, that you have the testimony time or the praise time or the prayer request time. That's just a great thing, and we need to hear as the family of God what's going on in each other's lives, and it's an encouragement to hear just the different people trying to give out the word of God. And I think of the two testimonies about sharing the gospel, and they got to kind of experience today just that fight, and the message I preached last night, having to die to your pride, and you do have to swallow pride. And every time I go door knocking, it never fails. The first three or four doors, I'm like, "Oh Lord, please help there to be nobody home." And then after I talk to a few people, then I'm like, "Well, this is great." And the Lord works on my heart every time I door knock, and it's just a wonderful thing to share the gospel. And I've just had I'm serious out there knocking doors. I've had some of the best times as a Christian out knocking doors. Absolutely, sometimes by myself. I interned one year for a church and over on the west side, and I just knocked doors from nine to noon, ate lunch, and then knocked doors from 1 o'clock until about 5 or 6 every day of the summer for this church. And when a lot of churches, when they bring you in as an intern, they're like, "Well, you're going to get the experience you need, but it's going to be out there." And so go out and door knock, and it really blessed the church. We saw people coming in from it, so it was a blessing. But there's only two of us, so we figured, hey, we'll cover more ground by ourselves. And there was times when I, of course, wish I had another person with me, it was just some of the best times. So I encourage you, I might challenge you a little bit tonight in that area of door knocking. It's something that I believe we as Christians, we don't have the right perspective about it. And I'm going to just share with you a little bit about that. But I shared with you last night, and this is kind of if you haven't been here in the nights past, this is kind of a weird title, but Satan's will for our life, if you will, and what he wants to trick us into thinking that we're in control of our lives, when indeed we're playing right into his hand and exactly what he wants us to do, instead of submitting our will, if you would, or our life to the Lord. And it's what we're commanded to do as Christians in the Bible. And I try my best as a preacher not to preach my opinion or what I think or those kind of things, but what the Word of God says. And I was thinking of the other testimony given just about, and I love this too, when people ask, "What does your church believe?" And I say, "Well, we believe this Bible. If you can't find it in the Bible, then you can't find it in our church." And so, I love preaching from God's Word, and I base all my preaching upon its authority and not my own, upon the Lord whose Word it is. And so let's look at Romans in chapter number 12, and we looked at the first verse last night, and there's really three passages I want to look at tonight, and I'm also going to try and just get through it as fast as possible. So if you will promise to listen and just do what I've asked you to do this week and examine your heart, examine yourself. I'm just going to preach what God's put on my heart, but if there's going to be any change in your life, you're the one that's going to have to make the steps and take the necessary actions, if you will, to make those changes. And so, as we look at the Word of God, I just ask that you look in your own heart and see if there's anything in the Word of God that's contrary to your life that you can line up with the Word of God. So let's look at the first few verses, and we'll read on down. I'll just tell you where we're going to stop reading, probably through verse 8. Let's look at the first 8 verses here. And it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and I pray that you'd loose my tongue, Lord, and just be with me tonight as I preach. I ask it, and Lord, I know that you have been working so far, and I just pray that you would continue to work. And I pray that the saints in this room, the Christians in this room, including myself, would just give you the freeness, or the liberty, if you would, the liberty to work in our hearts tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This passage of Scripture, the first two verses of Romans chapter 12, have always been two of my favorite verses in the Bible. And I've heard them preached many times and different things like that. And I preached on that first verse last night, how we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice back to the Lord, and how it talks about, I beseech you therefore, brethren, how it's written to the brethren. Of course, the brothers and sisters of Christ would be the brethren of Paul, but we're not going to cover that again tonight. But tonight I want to focus on that second verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. The word is metanoia, which has to do with metamorphosis, if you will. If you know anything about a worm that goes through metamorphosis, it comes out of that cocoon and spins that cocoon and comes out a butterfly. And it's completely different than what it was before. And that's why the songwriter said, such a worm as I, because he went through that metamorphosis process. And he was transformed, and we're transformed when we're saved. When you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're transformed into become a new creature in Christ, if you would, by the renewing of your mind. And that has to do with reading the Word of God. That's the only way that we can renew our mind, is by taking the Word of God and getting as much as we can, reading it at home, listening to messages. And over time, you'll find, as you read your Bible and as you hear the preaching, that your mind will be renewed, and you'll start to think about the things of Christ and the things of God. And so get as much of the Word of God as you can by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, and look at this, and perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. Remember, it's written to the brethren. So first of all, there's just a few things that I want to point out here. And we've been talking a little bit about walking with God, and I hope to expand on that a little more. But first of all, you cannot successfully walk with God. And we read about Noah and Enoch, how they walked with God. We read about that the very first night in this revival, how they walked with God. But really, today as Christians, because of our position in Christ, because we've been forgiven of our sins, because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus, we have more of an opportunity than all the saints in history, than all the Old Testament saints, to walk with God. Because you see, if you read the book, the life of Job, who was a just man, the Bible says, and had a great relationship with God and walked with God, every time they sinned in the Old Testament, what did they have to do? They had to go and make a temporary atonement, a covering, if you will, by the sacrifice of a lamb. And of course, that represented our Lord Jesus Christ one day when He would die on the cross. But every time, I mean, don't you think that would get old after a while? Just going back, and every time you sinned, you were then again separated from having a relationship with God, and you couldn't have that relationship until you went and sacrificed again and again and again. And so it was more difficult in the Old Testament to walk with God. But the opportunity we have now, that we're in the age of grace, and we're forgiven, and the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that verse is actually, if you look at the context, it's written to believers that He'll forgive you of your sins. So when we mess up, instead of having to go and make all these sacrifices, we just say, hey, God, forgive me. And now you have to mean it in your heart, but you confess, if you will. You become in an agreement with God over your sin. The word confess means to be in agreement with, and you agree that what you did was wrong, and you're going to try through with His help. Now remember, the flesh cannot cast out the flesh. It has to be through the Lord's help, through the Holy Spirit's help. You're going to make a change in your life. And so we can get it right. In an instant, we can get it right. And that fellowship with God is restored. And in the Old Testament, God would turn His back on people and because of the sin in their life. And nowadays, it's us that really turn our back on God. When we sin, we kind of turn away from God because we know we're guilty. And you can't help. I've never been able to, with sin in my life, get down before the Lord and start praying and not be able to confess those sins, because you just know that there's, you know, you start to pray and you know, hey, my life hasn't been right. You have to get it right, and then you know that it's forgiven, and you can just in an instant have that reconnection with God and start to walk with Him again. But you cannot walk with God unless you have first presented your body a living sacrifice to Him. Cannot walk with God, let me rephrase that, successfully. You cannot walk with God. Why? Because God demands that we present our body. This is kind of a commandment, if you will, New Testament. Paul's begging, that word beseech means to beg the brethren to present their bodies to God. And you really can't, there's always going to be something in the way. Maybe you'll have times of success, a little success walking with God. But until you get this thing of sacrificial living down, there will always be you and God, and you will never have the fullness, if you would, of the relationship with God. You'll never have that until you've presented your body fully over to Him as a sacrifice for His service, for whatever He wants you to do. But it says, for which is your reasonable service. But God, look at that, He has a perfect will for our lives. He has a perfect will for each and every one of us. It's perfect. You may make your own plans in life, and oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to become a doctor, I'm going to become that, and you know, not that that's wrong, but you may make all these plans and provision, and it's not wrong to plan some, but to make plans without consulting God as a believer is very, very dangerous. It's a dangerous thing, because you may make plans, maybe some of them will be good plans, but most of the time, if you've experienced it like I have in my life, most of the time I make the wrong decisions. Or they're imperfect plans. Maybe part of it worked, but part of it didn't. Imperfect. And maybe you fulfill the plans of others in your life. A spouse or something along those lines. Or your family, they say, hey, you need to do this. And so you said, okay, I'll take their advice and I'm going to go do that. But God has made a plan for your life that is perfect. It's perfect. And you right now, at this very moment in time, this little time that we're given on this earth, you right now are in your life, and you are either fulfilling His perfect will, or you're not. Maybe you're fulfilling His perfect will some of the time, but you're not doing it all the time. And really, to fulfill His perfect will, you cannot fulfill God's will without walking with Him. It's impossible. You can't do it. You can't go about your life without seeking the Lord. And that's really one of the keys to fulfilling His will, is seeking Him on decisions to make in your life. I don't care what it is. If something comes up, a job offer or something along those lines. Maybe, you know, to do this, who to marry if you're younger, or this thing or that thing. Whatever the decisions are, we should involve God in all our decisions. if we're seeking after His perfect will. And I believe this, if you'll walk with God, if you'll seek Him, He said, if you'll seek Him, and He will be found of you. But wait a minute, He said, you shall search for me and find me when you have sought for me with all your heart. So there's something there to that sacrificial life, walking hand in hand, walking with God, and then fulfilling His will. There's something there in the middle that must be done. And I'm going to get into another text here in a minute, but I want to go on in this passage of Scripture, because look at what's going to hinder you fulfilling this will of God. It says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought." The number one thing that's going to get in the way of you fulfilling God's will for your life is pride. And we preached a little bit about that last night. That pride that says, I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to let God have control of my life. I'm not going to do the things that God wants me to do. I'm just going to make all the decisions, and I'm going to call the shots, and it'll never work. Now remember, God's will is perfect. So if you can make the choice, and you certainly can, to fulfill something that's imperfect over something that's perfect, which are you going to choose? Of course, that which is perfect. You're not going to choose something that has flaws to it. God has a flawless will for your life, a perfect will. But wait a minute, we're getting into the context of this passage of Scripture, and I love studying God's Word, and so many times people will take verses. And this is really how a lot of false doctrine is started. You take a verse out of the Bible, and without considering the verses before it or the verses after it, and trying to find out what the writer's trying to say, you twist it around, and then the context, you don't consider the context, and that's how many false doctrines are started that way. But every passage of Scripture, remember this when studying the Bible, and this is one of the first things they teach you if you go to a place that's going to teach you how to study God's Word, every passage of Scripture has one interpretation. That means one meaning. It has one interpretation. There's only one interpretation for this passage of Scripture, but there's always many applications to a passage of Scripture. In other words, there's many ways you can apply it to your own life, and I think of the word application. And if you look at the walls here, and I got to help, I got to help with a little bit of application in these walls, and I'm proud of that, because I want to come back maybe 10 years from now and say, hey, well, you're not going to be in here 10 years now. You're going to build your own building, of course, but maybe 3 or 4 years from now and say, hey, I got to help out with that, and what a wonderful thing. But when you think of the word application, that the paint was applied to these walls, and then after it was applied, it was totally changed and never the same. Application should make a change. And when you apply the Word of God in its right context, it should make a change in your life. But here we go. We're going to get into the context, if you would, of what Paul is trying to talk about. For as we have many members in one body... That's part of the context right there. It's for the church. It's the church. So a preacher can get up, and there's nothing wrong with some of this, and preach the will of God, the will of God. You have to find out the will of God, but God will answer itself here in this passage of Scripture, that the will of God is fulfilled through a church. Through a church. Through a local church. He's writing to a certain church in this passage of Scripture. For we, as we be, as have many members in one body, and all members have the same office. So we're to fulfill God's will through the church. And one of the things I really see attacked so much around the country is this thing of the church. The church has been made kind of into something that's really not important. But I'm going to show you in just a minute just how important the church is to God. Well, first of all, a verse that comes to mind, Christ loved the church. He gave Himself for the church. So the church is very important, and it's the institute in which we can come together and fulfill God's will for our life. So if you would think with me for just a minute, in other words, to fulfill God's Word, it has to be done through the local church. through the church, God fulfills our life. Now, that may be hard for some of us to understand, but it's right here in this passage of Scripture. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. And if you really study that word prophecy in the New Testament, it's actually talking about preaching, proclaiming. So that's the preacher. According to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. That's the gift of serving. I believe Miss Tucker has the gift of serving tonight. She's always doing something to prepare, and a lot of the ladies here doing something to prepare, and that you definitely have ministered to me this week and served me, and served me many great dishes, in fact. But we have different gifts, in other words, that God has given to the church. And we're all different in this sense that we all have something that we're supposed to do. That, you know what that something is? It's that perfect will of God. There's something we're supposed to do here in God's local church. I back at my church, my home church, well, actually right now I'm ministering to you on behalf of my local New Testament church, Temple Baptist Church. And then the camp ministers to people from the local Temple Baptist Church there, and is a ministry of that. And so I am actually fulfilling a part of the church, my church back in Apache Creek, New Mexico. But we have many members. Let's look just a little more on these. And you could just teach on this for weeks. You could teach all about the different gifts God has given the church, and it's a great study if you want to study on the church. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, or he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. There's many people, you know, if you ever wonder why some people are more merciful than others, because they have the gift of mercy, the gift of showing mercy. They have a big heart, but God has given us all these gifts, if you will. But wait a minute. What happens, it says, for we have many in verse 4, members in one body. So Paul is taking something, and really the church is a mystery in the Word of God. It's declared as one of the mysteries that was revealed unto the Apostle Paul, and we're gonna see that in a little more, and I'm trying to hurry, but we're a body, if you will. So what happens? We all have a different office. We all have something else we do. And if you're not in a church right now, just start to seek the Lord about what He would have for you in a church, because it's important, and I'll show you why in just a minute, to be in a church. But we have many members in one body, so what happens, let me ask you. I was talking to a Christian one time, and a very good Christian, been saved most of her life, and just a good Christian, knew a lot about the Bible. But I made one statement to her one time, and we were talking, and she said, "Well, I went over and heard this speaker one night while we were having services," and I didn't argue with her about it, but I just said, "Well, you really should be, when your church is in meeting and when your church is gathered as a body of believers, you really should be in that body, because there's something missing when its members are gone. There's something missing, and when we take part and get involved, he compares it to a body. So when the hands are missing, the church ceases to work, or the church ceases to serve. When the head is missing, when there's no pastor, it's just a man. And of course, Christ is the head of the church. Well, when Christ is missing, it's at the axe go also. But when the shepherd is missing, when the pastor is missing, it's a fiasco. Something's wrong. So you really, when you're not in your church, in your place, you're really wounding your church, if you will. You're really tying their hands or holding them back from fulfilling all that they can do. And so it's important to be in your place every time the church doors are open. Now, I understand circumstances come up. Somebody gets sick or something along those lines. Of course, you need to take care of the business. But just make the decision to always be in your place. Some of you tonight are maybe saying, "Well, I'm the backside of the church. I do all the sitting for them." Amen. I come in here and sit every Sunday and take my place. No. We all have a different office. We all have something that we're supposed to do. And you may say, "Well, what is it? What is it for me? Well, I'm glad you asked, because here's where your job comes in. Here's where the work comes in. Here's where walking with God, if you will, comes in. You are supposed to seek the Lord and talk to His man, your pastor, and find out exactly what you're supposed to be doing here at Spokane Baptist Church. And if you're doing nothing, guess what? I don't read that in any of the gifts. I wish the gift of nothing. It's not in there. I'm sorry. But there is something God has given you. A gift, if you would. The Bible calls it gifts. And you can study them all. I forget how many there are. And I know there's been guys that have written books on it in the past and all those things. But you can study the gifts God has given to the church. God has given those that are good. And if you think about a good illustration of the gifts, you think of Martha in the kitchen serving, and she looked at Mary weeping at the feet of, spending time at the feet of Jesus, and because she didn't understand that she was the same, she got angry with her. And that's sometimes why we have discord in the church and why we fight. But actually, Paul, in the rest of this chapter, we're not going to go through it tonight, but he talks about exactly when these members get together with these different gifts, how we can get through it. And I'll just give you a brief kind of outline of what Paul talks about. He talks about loving no matter what, hating evil, love good, be kind in brotherly love, prefer one another over yourselves, work hard, be zealous, rejoice with one another, be patient, continue in prayer with one another, be giving, bless, don't curse, avenge not, be not overcome evil, but overcome with evil, but overcome with good. And he kind of tells you exactly when you all get together, how you can perform well as a church. And that's what it talks about in the next passage of Scripture. But let me ask you this question before we go any further. Are you fulfilling God's will for your life? Are you fulfilling His perfect will for your life through the church? And the only person that can, of course, answer that is you and God. But turn over real quick to First Peter, and it kind of First Peter chapter 4, and it kind of tells you, it's kind of a parallel passage, except it's not really a parallel passage. But it's Peter kind of giving the same message that Paul was giving. But look at these first few verses. And it always, when you talk about fulfilling the will of God, you'll always read something like this. But look at what it says. For as much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, what was that? He died on the cross for our sins. He suffered for us in the flesh. And you know, I believe for Him to even come down here and be born in this world was suffering for us in the flesh. But Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Look at what it says. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. And it is to say no to your flesh. Causes your flesh to suffer. It doesn't like it. You know, to say no, so why would you say no to the things you know are wrong to do, to the things that you know are not right? And it says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men. So there's people that come up in this world, and if we're not careful, we can get caught up in this, just living for the flesh and living for our own lusts and our own wants and our own desires. And we talked about that last night, that he no longer, or let's read on, in the flesh of the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So that's, like I was talking about last night, that's the thing that gets in the way of the will of God. But then he goes on and talks about the church, and starts reading about the church. For in times past of our... let's not read there. It goes on to talk a little bit about that. For this cause was the gospel preached in verse 6, also to them that are dead, and that they might judge according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is the hand that be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And he's addressing this church to be sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity, fervent love. That's love that expects nothing in return. That's how the church is supposed to be, among yourselves. So you're supposed to be that way to each other and then to the outside world. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And he kind of gives kind of the same list almost, if you study it out, that Paul gave over there in the last passage of Scripture. But to fulfill the will of God, it's going to take some suffering in our flesh. And I think of just a few things that cause our flesh to suffer, if you would. Reading God's Word. To walk with God, to fulfill the Word of God, we have to read God's Word. And before I read God's Word, and I've heard other preachers say this, I like to just say, God, speak to me in Your Word. And speak, forgive me of my sins, God, cleanse me, speak to me in Your Word, and give me instructions. Maybe I've even heard of some people making a big decision where God answered it in His Word. And I've heard when you read God's Word, it's God speaking to you. And when you pray, it's you speaking to God. So in God's Word and then in prayer, this flesh does not like to pray, does it? Man, I found this out so many times. Maybe early morning or something, getting down and start to pray and almost dozing off. Having to wake myself up. Wake up, flesh, it's time to pray. You know, something along those lines. But to fulfill the will of God, see, it's not just going to happen naturally, is what I'm trying to get across to you tonight. It's not just going to happen for you, but it's going to have to be something you're going to have to seek after, something you might have to say no to some things, and to get closer to God, to find out what He wants you to do here at this church. And let's go on, and this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Ephesians chapter number 3. And I'm almost done. I'm going to wrap it up here with this passage. I'm not going to preach on it long. And it talks about, this passage is also talking about the church. And let's go ahead and read it. Ephesians in chapter number 3. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And what mystery is that is talking about? Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Look at this. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by who? The church. The manifold wisdom of God. And that's not talking about demons. It's talking about the angels, the principalities and powers that are in heavenly places. They watch upon the church and see how it's supposed to be working and all these things. The church, when it's functioning properly and the members are doing what they're supposed to and it's functioning the way it's supposed to function, it shows the angels the manifold wisdom of God. And then it kind of goes, which is important to God. Do you think that it's important to God? See, sometimes, and I've talked to maybe different ones, people about this week, and sometimes, you know, it's people just pick a church like they would pick a shoe or something along those lines, or pick a new dress. Oh, I really like that one, or this one suits me real well and I fit with it. But the church was never intended for that. The church was never intended for our pleasure, if you would. Now, do we get joy and do we get pleasure out of coming to church? Yes, we do. Praise the Lord. Do we get edified? Do we get the Word of God at church? Do we get fed? Praise the Lord. Yes, we do. But that was never God's intention that that's all it would be. And look down in verse 21. Unto Him be glory in the church. So the church, it's true. And this is what you'll find is the purpose of the church, the God's church, the one He wanted in His Word, the one that He started, is to bring Him glory. To bring Him glory. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all world without end. Amen. So let me ask you, church, are you bringing God glory? See, a church isn't just a building, and I know we believe that. It's not this building. You know, the church, the word church, means ecclesia, means a called out assembly. And did you know that how often is visitation every other week? Every other week. Did you know that visitation in the New Testament, that they would call church and then they would go out and that visitation and soul winning is the church going out? And yet how many churches I've been to where they had a Saturday visitation and the church runs 200 and there's five people there. But what I always tell people is, hey, we're having church on Saturday morning. Hope you're here in your place. But the church is going out and you say, oh, but I don't know how to tell people about Jesus Christ. Well, you just got to come and ask your pastor maybe to show you some verses about it and teach you how to do it so that the gospel can go out. And I saw in the library, The Way of the Master, and you can listen or watch those, whatever they are, and learn. It's so easy to learn how to tell people about Jesus Christ. The way I learned was just going with somebody. You know, and after a while, it was kind of, maybe I sounded a little robotic at first, just saying exactly what they said, and some of you maybe have experienced that with me, but after a while, you start to catch on, and you start to learn how. Everybody had to start somewhere, but the church is important to God. First of all, you can't walk with God without first dying to self. Without dying to your ambitions and your things and all the placing all those things, all those plans, ambitions and all those things in the hands of God and saying, God, here they are. Remember, it was to the brethren. And I know when you say something like that, who's the first person that pops into your mind? It's like the preacher or something along those lines. I know that. But you as a church member placing those things in the arms and hands of God and saying, God, here I am. I'm here to serve you. You can't walk with God effectively without doing that. And then you walk with God and you start to seek His will. God, what do you want me to do? How much do you want me to give? Where do you want me to serve? Lord, I pray that you would help our pastor, help him to preach and feed us on Sunday morning, Lord. And I pray that you'd give him spiritual discernment as our leader. And I pray that you would work on his heart also the things that maybe I would be appointed to or the office that you would have me to serve here at the church. There's something for everybody to do. Everybody. But God, what's your will through your church? Oh, we've kind of messed up in this area of the church in America, haven't we? It's just become just a place to come sit or a place to come and talk with people. But it was supposed to be a place that displayed the manifold wisdom of God. Supposed to be a place that brought God glory. So let me ask you, as a member of the church, maybe you're not a member, well, you need to pray about what church God would have you to be in. Maybe it would be this one. Let me just encourage you that this church, you know, it's hard to find any, you can't find anything in this church that's not in this world. And I call myself a Baptist and they call themselves a Baptist. And I it's wonderful to hear the testimonies this week as I sat down on your tables on how you got led into this church. And the reason I'm a Baptist is because I can find nothing in the Baptist teachings and doctrines that's contrary to this word. That's why I'm a Baptist. Not because I'm proud, oh, I'm a Baptist and I'm right and everybody else is wrong. Not because of that, but because I can't find anything wrong with the doctrines contradicting with this word. That's why this church is a Baptist church tonight, because the pastor, and he's expressed this to me, that he cares so much about the Word of God that he wants to make sure everything lines up with the Word of God at this church. And that's why I'm a Baptist, and that's why many of you have come to this church. But you need to be in a church that believes this Word of God and does everything according to what it says. But let me ask you, have you as a church member, a member here, or you as an individual, have you been fulfilling God's will in your life through a local New Testament church? Have you been bringing God glory in your life through this local New Testament church? Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and I just preached your word the best I could. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with the message tonight, but I pray that you'd help us to make the changes now in the invitation. We've heard your word, Lord, and now it's time to become doers. I pray that you would help us to do that tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you'd stand with your feet, the piano's not going to play tonight, but if you would stand to your feet in an attitude of prayer with your head bowed and your eye closed, if you need to come and do business with God, the invitation's open for you to bow there where you're at and to pray, or to come forward here at the front and pray and just do business with God as the Holy Spirit has led you. So would you do that tonight, Pastor? Would you come?